All right, good evening, everyone. Good to be here once again in the house of the Lord to study the Word of God and to the fellowship with the saints of God as we learn about the Word of God, as we share with one another our insights into the Word of God. And I'm hoping that tonight we will have some good discussion as we continue on talking about relationships. And one of the things that Pastor Seawright wanted to do in terms of this topic or this subject of relationships was for us to be able to make sure that we were doing everything we could to strengthen our individual relationships with each other, collectively as well, so that we would in fact be able to discuss some of these important issues of the day. Sometimes we can talk about important things with church members that we don't even talk about with our own family members. We talk about things at work with people that we won't talk about with people at church. And it's not because, you know, we don't, you know, because we're talking about something that we shouldn't be talking about, but maybe we have a closer relationship with people that we see more often. As a result, we may discuss certain things with them that we would not discuss with people maybe at church that we maybe see once a week or twice a week, maybe have no phone contact with, right, throughout the week. We may live in a house with someone or some ones that we very rarely see. We kind of, you know, passing ships in the night or whatever. One is leaving, the other one's coming, right? And I did that a long time when I was working midnights because, you know, Andy, she was working during the daytime. I was working nights. We would pass the children off like football, you know, like football, like we was, you know, doing a running play or something like that. And, you know, it was a situation where every once in a while when we had a day off, we might have an opportunity to talk about some things that were important. But a lot of times when you look at the number of hours that you spend in the course of the day, you spend 8, 10, 12, maybe 16 hours a day with people at work. And you spend 3, 4, maybe 5 hours, if you're lucky, with your children and with your family, right? And you would say, well, of course, that relationship is going to be good because you live together. But look at the 24-hour period of each day and how much time. Yes, and Sister Andy was sharing with me, you got to factor in the sleep time too. Because not only do some people work 8 hours or 10 hours or 12 hours, some people have the, I don't know, the privilege or the benefit of being able to sleep 8 hours or 10 hours. My goodness. Maybe even 12 hours. Aiden tells me he needs to have about 12 hours of sleep, otherwise he just don't feel like himself. Because he's a growing boy, right? I think I would have a headache and a guilty conscience if I was to sleep for 12 hours. I have a struggle with 8 hours. But the point is that we want to make sure that we look at relationships, see them as God sees them as being important, and then make sure we do everything we can with the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to strengthen and foster those relationships, and then remove those things which are a hindrance or an obstacle, right, to us having those good relationships. Now, I have been trying for many years to try to squeeze an extra hour out of my day. Every time I try, it's always 24 hours. No matter what I do, I cannot get more than 24 hours in a day. We are all stuck with that same problem, which means that we have to prioritize and we have to sacrifice, don't we? Right? That means that, and I think I made mention of this before, I don't know if it was in a message or if it was in one of the Tuesday night Bible studies. Every time you say yes, you have to say no. And every time you say no, you are saying yes, right? Because every time you say no to something, it is so that you can say yes to something else, right? And every time you say yes to something, you are saying no to something else, right? So when it comes to relationships, There's a lot of saying no so you can say yes to something else, and there's a lot of saying no so you can say yes, right? Vice versa. And that's something that we really want to look at in terms of our relationships with one another. Anything good is going to require a sacrifice. If you want it to continue to be good, you need to sacrifice for that. And that means you're going to have to sacrifice of your time. You have to sacrifice of your time in order to do that. And not just hope that things kind of fall into place. Because, you know, how many of you have been to a family reunion and said, we got to get together more often? Mm-hmm. Right? We can't just keep meeting once a year. Like, this don't make no sense, right? We live less than 30 minutes away. We live less than 20 minutes away, right? Some people live in, you know, out of state or whatever. You might see them once or twice a year. But people that live within 40 or 50 minutes of you keep saying, we got to get together more often. And you say that every single year. And every year, you see them one time.
And that's it. Or a funeral.
Or a funeral. That's right. That's right. Funerals and weddings once in a while, maybe, right? And we gotta quit meeting that way. And we need to be able to meet each other in more timely ways, more timely fashion. And that means you have to plan, and that means you have to sacrifice. So we're gonna continue on tonight. As I said, that was a long segue into what it is we're gonna be talking about. But we wanna go ahead and open up with a word of prayer so that we can do this thing right and let God be here in the midst. And I believe he's already here because I believe some of you brought him with you, and I heard you up here praying, so I know he is here. Let's continue to usher him in as we get into his word. Let's pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this yet another day. We thank you, Lord, for this awesome opportunity that you have given to us, all of us, Lord God, your children, to be able to come together in one place at one time in your house, Lord God, to be able, Lord God, to fellowship, to pray, Lord God, to be able to look upon each other's faces, Lord God, and to encourage one another, and to be able to study your word, Lord. We ask right now that as we get into your word, help us in the name of Jesus, that we would take from your word what it is that you would have for us to get, and help us to have a good discussion about this topic of relationships in community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So community and relationships. I just want to start out with a couple of questions. Sometimes when we have something that we look at as being a problem, something that is maybe deficient, we have to identify some of the hindrances, right, that prevent us from being able to do what it is that we know we should do. So I want to ask a question here. So what are some things that hinder relationships? And I'll say that just short from being all that they can be, from being what it is God would have them to be. We just maybe start us a list here. What are some of the things? Some things that hinder relationships from being all that they can be, or what God would have them to be. What keep us from being able to have our relationships to flourish?
I think maybe self-love or selfishness.
Selfishness, okay. Good.
Mistrust.
Mistrust. Okay. I think lack of trust, mistrust. Okay. So far, you haven't asked me to spell anything that I can't spell, which is good. Keep it up. I don't have spell check up here. Anything else?
Stubborn.
Stubbornness.
Jealousy.
Okay. You're stubbornness. All right, stubborn. Two beings, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You.
We know what it is.
Born. Ness. Yeah. All right. These glasses are mine too. And what was the other one?
Jealousy.
Jealousy. Okay. That's G or J?
J.
That's a J.
J, A.
That's right. J, A, what? What is it? I'm gonna have Judy help. J, E, A.
L-O-U-S.
L-O-U-S. That don't look right. Because I always write in caps, which makes it look like I don't know what I'm spelling. Okay, that's right. Jealousy. Jealousy. So, jealousy. Okay. All right. Anything else? I don't think jealousness is a word.
It's not.
No.
It's jealousy.
Jealousy.
It's jealousy.
Right.
Okay.
S
Y. All right. That's good.
We got it.
We got it. Okay. Poor communication? Okay. One more. We talked about it earlier, I guess lack of time spent, right? Okay. All right.
The obvious one.
Which one?
Someone might just say disinterest.
Disinterest, okay. Right. Okay. All right. So all these things are problems or hindrances to having good relationships. So an obvious thing would be what? In terms of dealing with all these issues. In order, if you want your relationship to be good, what do you have to do? It's easier said than done, right? What do you have to do?
Spend time for yourself.
You have to spend time, right? You have to be selfless, right? You have to not be so sensitive, right? Don't think evil of someone, right? Because when it comes to love, love thinks what? No evil, right?
Yes.
Right? It does not think of itself, right? Mistrust. Mistrust is a hard one because it leaves you what? Leaves you vulnerable, doesn't it? So if you take down your barriers, if you take down your walls, if you take down your defenses, will you ever really experience a true close relationship with a person? Now, I'm not saying just, you know, you meet somebody and then everything just comes down, right? But over time, if you keep those barriers up because you are worried about being hurt, right? You're worried about what are they going to do to me? What might they do to me? What is their angle, right? This goes back to what Elder Seawright was talking about. When we talk about what a person is saying and what the other person perceives that they are saying, right? And then somewhere along the line, there's the truth, right? Right? And the truth of what's being said, the honest truth, right? But not being able to know that causes you to maybe mistrust them. And if you misunderstand what someone says, you might end up being hurt, right? This being selfish and this lack of time spent kind of is together. Because when you look at selfishness, you take all of your time, because we're talking about time now, right? We're talking about time spent with another person, right? Whether it's somebody in the church, whether it's your family, whether it's God, right? If you are selfish with your time, you're not going to spend enough time with that other person in order for it to grow and to flourish, right? And if you don't talk with that person, I mean, you can sit in a room with somebody for hours, right? But you don't say two words with each other, right? You don't say two words to each other. And as sometimes I've heard of this, older people, as they grow up and grow old together, They will spend time in the same room.
Yes, Lord.
And they don't talk, right? And some can't talk, right? Some can't talk, right? But, you know, and then others just won't stop talking. And they're talking to themselves, right? But they stop communicating. So it's not just about talking, it's about communicating, right? It's about listening, right? It's about exchanging, right? And all of that requires, time, right? And then there's this other part too, where you look at disinterest. Maybe the person just does not even want to talk. Maybe they're just not a very gregarious person. They don't like being around people. They don't like spending time with other people, right? Some people are like that.
People don't like that.
Right? And you have to give them their space, right? Mm-hmm. But people that want to have a relationship, you want to be able to spend time with them, mm-hmm. right? In a way that is going to be mutually beneficial, something that is going to be a relationship that is going to benefit not only them, but you as well, but also something that you can take from that. You know, you can receive something from that particular relationship, and that is going to not be toxic to you, but that is going to, in some way or another, make you a more fulfilled, more enlightened, possibly a more happy person, because we were not made to be solitary creatures. We were made to be amongst others, right? I'm just gonna, instead of writing out all these questions, I'm going to, what thought, so when we were looking at this idea of relationship, we were thinking that it would be wise to focus on building good relationships with each other, so that we would be in a position to be able to discuss some of these things. But again, this is not going to be accomplished within a day, a week, right, or a month, right? It's not going to happen within a year. This is something that over time has to be done, but we need to be able to get to a point where we can spend more time with each other outside of the four walls of this church, right? Now, when you look at, again, those 24 hours that you have to carve out some time in order to spend that time with people, even if it's on the phone. If you can't drive 45 minutes to get to somebody's house, at least call, right? Purpose it in your heart to call that person and just say, you know what? I was just thinking about you, right? Right? And you call and you talk to them. See if they need anything, right? If they ask you to do something, don't be like, again. Right now, what's next, right? You always want me to do something, right? Huh? But we are supposed to be, right? We're supposed to help one another, right? We're supposed to give, right? Freely we have received, freely give, right? And it's going to take some time. You may have to get on the road, and especially with our church, because everybody doesn't live in Pontiac, do they? You may have to drive 50 minutes to get to a brother or a sister's house in order to spend some time with them, right? You may have to do that. You may have to take some time out from your night of binge watching on Netflix or Hulu or whatever it is you watch, and say, you know what, instead of watching 5 episodes, I'm only going to watch 4, and on that 5th one, I'm going to call my brother or my sister, right? I'm just making a point. I'm not saying anybody here does that. I don't think anybody has time to be vegging out like that, you know, unless you're a teenager, but I don't think any other adults do that kind of thing. So what advantages do we have, or should we have as believers, to overcome some of these barriers and obstacles that the world does not have? What do we have?
Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit.
We have the Holy Spirit? Okay. Yeah. What else do we have?
Word of God. We have God's words.
The Word of God.
The love of God. Yeah.
The love of God. Okay.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I should start writing these down, or have Judy come up here and write them down. This is where Aiden would come in handy. I could have him write them down. So, what else?
Isolation.
Okay, we have a place of worship. Anybody else have any thoughts about this? Sister Ratcliffe has given us what, five of them? She's spoon feeding us, huh? Prayer? Okay, not everybody has prayer, do they? Right? Because the world, it's been said, the only prayer that God hears from a sinner is, Lord, forgive me, right? I receive you as Lord and Savior. And then after that, then, you know, the floodgates are open, right? Any other prayer, they don't have a relationship with God in such a way as to ask him of anything, right? They just don't. They don't have that. They are none of his, right? But the children of God have that open line of communication where they don't have to go through another person, right? They can pray to God directly, the creator of the universe, right? And he will not despise them, will not shun them away, will not hang up on them, right? And will not allow the answering service to screen the calls, right? You can just call, right? And he's always there. And we have that as a benefit to us that helps us in terms of relationships, right? So those are the things that we have that the world does not have. So what is our excuse if we have one? I mean, the world is, I mean, the birds of a feather flock together and they thick as thieves, right? Right? If we have all these benefits, we have all these things that are at our disposal, things that the world does not have. What is it that is hindering us? You know, I mean, we named all this stuff, but is it our will to do these things? I mean, are we victims of circumstance? You know, is there nothing we can do about that?
Well, really, you're saying that in a sense that, like, you know, relationship. I have a relationship with a lot of people. We mm-hmm. have a relationship with everybody.
With everybody, okay.
But, you
on
know,
the same
you
level.
Might be, you might even think, you know, I've got these good relationships and you might feel like I don't need anymore. I can't, you know, there's so many ways mm-hmm. that we have relationships and you just don't think of, now.
Are we open to new relationships?
I'm always open to new relationships.
Okay.
You were saying that people sitting around, you know, people see each other for hours, and then I can't ride two floors on an elevator with somebody who don't say nothing. Okay, it's just me, you know.
Right.
Always trying to
right.
sit together.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to reach out to people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do try to, you know, just establish relationships.
Yeah.
And sometimes you establish relationships that, well, me, sometimes I establish relationships that I wish I hadn't. But, you know, but that's the truth.
We've all been there
and
done that, yes.
Deacon Harris would often say, we make time for whatever we want to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So even the statement, I don't have time, is not often accurate.
Mm-hmm.
It's that we don't want to spend the time.
Right.
We choose not to use that time. But
mm-hmm.
we often say we do whatever, we find time to do whatever we want to do. But I think along the same lines, there are levels of relationships. Some are demographic based, some are age based. But as believers, we have in common Christ as our Savior. So if nothing else, we can share the word and encourage one another. But there is, like you said, there are only 24 hours in a day, and I think the prayer is for me to, you know, evaluate how I'm using the time God has given me and remove those things that may lead me to spend less time with him or less time with others.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always, you know, if you ever want to, if you ever think you have too much time, something always comes in to take up that void. And we should be prayerful and mindful. What is it that's taking that time? And am I being a steward of the time that
mm-hmm.
you've been given?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I can imagine some people in this room might feel like you know, are spending enough time with people, you know what I mean? And they're maybe wish they had more time for other things. Could be possible, I don't know. And some people might be comfortable where they're at, spending limited time or no time with people. So, you know, the Paul talks about the church being, you know, stones, like we're living stones that make up one structure, or the body, where, you know, every part is essential, and, you know, you can't just have, you know, a heart operating without the lungs and the, you know, the other systems. We have a lot of people in this that understand that quite well, that being in medicine, how everything works so beautifully together, it's mm-hmm. supposed to.
Right.
And when sickness in the body is when one organ isn't operating in sync with another organ, and things start to, you know, get sick, and they're not communicating right, right? There isn't homeostasis, right? So, you know, just going on Paul's analogy, I mean, I think the world teaches us that we are organs and body parts that are separate, you know, and that's the way it is, and somehow that's okay. And yet the church teaches the very opposite, that you're not, you know, to yourself. You're, you know, bought for price,
right?
You belong to one another. And like words like intrusion, right, which you can think of as being, oh, that's so negative, but it doesn't have to be. Like, you know, like a good friend doesn't ring a doorbell, right? You know, he just comes right in, you know. and then you almost say, well, what are you doing? What, you know, why did you knock? You know, yeah. It's like, you don't knock, you just come right in. And oh, whoa, no, we got, you know. So these are just some of my thoughts. I think this level of being able to, you know, see yourself within the same living organism of another person is very intrusive and intimate. And if you don't see yourself that way with another, and the other person doesn't see you in that way,
right,
it's not gonna be homeostasis. The body is not gonna be healthy.
Yeah.
It's gonna be separate and not communicating one with the other.
So as you were speaking about that, there are certain levels of closeness that you will have naturally with people. And it doesn't matter whether you are on your job, whether you're in your home, or in the church, right? And we know that no matter how many tools we have, right, that the world does not have, we are not all going to be as close to each other as we are with everyone else in the church, right? That's not realistic. And it's not even something that's really described in biblical terms as being the case either, because we know that Jesus had an inner circle, he had a middle circle, and then there was an outer circle, and there was 12 of them all together, right? He had a certain closeness with his inner circle, and they were privy to a lot of information that the others were not privy to because of proximity, right? Because they spent more time with Jesus, right? We know that there were those two sisters, Mary and Martha, right? And we had one of them that was on the outskirts taking care of all the busy stuff, and the other one, right, was at Jesus' feet, and Jesus said that she was receiving the best part, and that was a close relationship. When we look at the Bible itself, the Bible, you have some flashbacks about the play?
Uh-huh.
Yes, I remember that. when we look at the whole Bible in its entirety, it is the lengths to which God will go to in order to restore a broken relationship, right? And the Bible is not about people. It's about how God deals with and works in and through the people of the Bible. And not just for their sake, but for our sakes too, because we can look at what they went through in actual history, and we can learn and glean from that. And we can learn about the nature and the character of God if we look at those individuals. So relationships are very important. When you look at when there was nothing. I mean, there was no darkness. There was no earth. There was no moon, no stars, no fish, no beast in the field, nothing. There was a relationship.
Yes.
There was a relationship between the eternal Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had an eternal relationship when there was nothing, nothing else. So that puts relationships on a very, very high pedestal, right? The hierarchy, the importance of that. When you look at the Ten Commandments and the law of God, what does it deal with? Relationships. Your relationship between God and man, the first four, and your relationship between man and his fellow man, the last six, right? When we look at all of the law, it is talking about your relationship between you and God and your relationship towards you and your fellow man. That's what this is all about. So if you think that you can be a human being and just totally skirt relationships altogether, you are missing the point of life. You are missing the point of life. And that is something that we want to make sure that we do not do. A lot of times people can have good relationships because they have things in common. Right? Things in common. Did you have something, Pastor?
Yeah. When I'm looking at this, and it's just kind of interesting because I kind of got stuck on the list, and I'm trying to apply it to a community, but the one that is very intriguing to me is disinterest. Mm-hmm. And if I apply that, you know, and I say, well, first of all, you know, God forbid that any on the list is in that church community, hopefully we can not be selfish and not go around hurting folks and
right.
Hang out. But nevertheless, those things are there and I can get it. But this interest is really interesting to me because to think that within a church community that you know, you're disinterested in being around the folks, the folks is interesting. And the reason why it's interesting is because I do think it exists.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that disinterest exists. Mm-hmm. I believe that some folks are disinterested mm-hmm. in being around folks in the church.
Yeah.
And I don't see it being, I see that one being harder to excuse, believe it or not. Or harder to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It goes back to what Brother Darren was saying in terms of what he was quoting Deacon Harris is saying. People do what they want to do, what they're interested in doing, right? And this is not, I'm not saying this, and I don't think Pastor's saying this, it's an indictment, you know, against the church or the people of the church. But that word up there is very troubling to see it up there. That could, you know, I mean, sometimes people can be selfish and everybody can do it, right? He could maybe say something that maybe you didn't intend to do, maybe you did, I don't know. There's mistrust issues, stubbornness, jealousy, poor communication, these are all, but when you get down into this idea of disinterest, that's a deeper type of heart condition type thing, right? It does not interest you. It's not something that is of importance to you. It's not something that you see as worthwhile. It's not something that you see as essential, right? If you are disinterested in it, it is something that you can take or leave, right? You know? And when you look at relationships with the people of God, we can't say that we love God whom we have not seen, right? And we, you know, hate or despise or detest
or
the thought, or you're disinterested in your fellow man who you have seen, right? Right?
But,
go ahead.
That word, I think it applies a lot to, and I hear it because I listen to people, especially at work, that belong to these big, huge churches. And part of the reason that they join these churches is because they don't have to develop relationships with anybody. I go to church, I belong to so-and-so's church,
I leave out,
and I'm not a part of any group, or I'm not held accountable for anything, but I can say I'm a member of XYZ.
Yeah.
design your church.
And if I'm not there for 3 weeks in a row, nobody's gonna know.
Nobody knows that you're not there. And, I mean, you come and go as you please. Nobody, you know, is wondering whether or not you paid your tithes or not.
Right.
And unfortunately, I also see that as a part of the young people as being disinterested.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's even more upsetting.
Let's look at the other part of that, though. Is it because they're just disinterested, or is there nothing interesting about it?
Let's hear from
the young people.
Yeah.
It's not just because you're interested in a lot of things, right? But if you're disinterested in church, is it because church is not interesting?
Well, people, right?
People.
Coming to church, going to church,
right?
But you just don't want to talk to people in the church or involve your life with people in the church.
What say you, young people? Any thoughts about that? This idea of being disinterested? That put you on the spot. Mm-hmm. Do that.
They're not interested in talking to you.
They're not interested in talking
to you. That's fair.
Maybe next time.
Yes.
Next time. That awkward silence. And,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't get up in my business.
Well, that's what we are trying to chip away at.
But I think the whole thing of disinterest goes against God's word, though, and the purpose for church.
Okay.
Because God's word says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves.
That's right.
And that very idea is not necessarily, like Tim says, these are individuals. This is the body of Christ.
Right.
So for me to say I'm disinterested, in getting together, I'm only coming to church, like Sister Brenda said, I'm only coming to church, it's a big church, I get to leave and come, then you miss the whole purpose of why you should be most incredibly happy when someone says to you, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's about fellowshipping. Mm-hmm. It's about seeing other believers. It's about getting encouraged because of other believers and their story that can carry you through from one week to the other week. Mm-hmm. It's about sharing our goods together. Church is not just a building that you check off a box to say, I attended church on Sunday, because then you've missed the whole purpose of church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's some genuineness that has to be associated with that. You can't just manufacture that. That's not something that you can just conjure up, right?
Yes.
If you can conjure it up, you're more dangerous than the person who is truly disinterested, because you are one who is able to be fake, to be a facade, to be, you know, something that is deceptive, right? And those that are truly of the household of faith, those that are truly children of God, they don't have to manufacture that, right? They don't have to pretend, right? They don't have to act on, you know, put on any airs, or, you know, try to fool this person or that person. They don't have to do that because it comes natural, right?
And so what the sister said, that those are the thoughts that I'm having. It just seems like it's an oxymoron, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
However, does it indicate, or does it point to spiritual immaturity, or a question of salvation?
That's the question.
Or, yes. You know, I don't know, but I just know that I can't say that it doesn't exist. It does exist.
It does exist, yeah. But
I feel like the whole idea, like the aspect of spirituality, and if we're here at fellowship and all that, that could be the exact problem. Because it's like, when you're in a situation where you feel like we connect because we're both Christians, why would I strive for a relationship outside of church? If I feel like our relationship is bound to the church, bound to God, and that's not what you're thinking of 24/7, 7 days a week. What am I striving for a relationship for outside of church? If that's the only way that I see that we relate, because that's the only reason we talk, that's the only reason we're ever together, is because of Christ, right?
So no, that's not either or, though.
I know, but I'm saying, but if that's the root of our relationship,
that's like the glue.
Like,
that binds you together.
It's like there's really nothing there that says, let's get away from that root. That's the root of our relationship.
So being part of that Christian community is being part of a spiritual family, right? So no matter what you do as a member of your earthly family who you share blood with, there is nothing that you can do to disassociate yourself from that family, right? You can act a nut and get kicked out of the house, but that doesn't make you not someone's son or not someone's sister or not someone's cousin or aunt or uncle, right? It doesn't matter what you do, you will still have that connection, right? In terms of a child of God, though, you are going to be part of that family, and you have that connection, and that connection or that glue is still blood, but it's not your blood and the blood of your father. It's the blood of Jesus that puts you together, right? So it's not a matter of you just saying, well, the people in the church are the only people I have a relationship with, and that's, you know, if I have them, then I don't need anybody else. That flies in the face of why it is that God saves us and then leaves us here. It is not so that we can just be a clique, be a group, right? And this is speaking to what it is that we're going to get into eventually here tonight. I'm just going to touch it briefly. When you look at the people in the world, we are supposed to be a light in the midst of darkness. We are supposed to have relationships with people out in the world, right? We are in the world, but not of the world, okay? So he wants us to be in the world, and he wants us to be an example to the world, and he wants us to befriend the world in the sense that we can, you know, help to draw men to Christ, but we are not supposed to be part of this world system. We're not supposed to be part of the world economy, okay? Do things that the world proposes that we should do. We are to be acting and behaving and doing what it is, you know, what God would have us to do in accordance with his word. So
Brother, I just want to make sure I understand him. I don't know. I'm still trying to make sure I understand where you're coming from. Sorry, because
go ahead.
Maybe you do.
Julian said that are we trying to clarify? Well, we've got the world's way of making friends, right? Hey, I play basketball too, right? You know, hey, you know, I like this game or whatever. Okay, yeah. And then we've got the Christian core, which the world doesn't have at all, which is, you know, redeemed by Christ's blood and brought together into a living body, you know? And they're not mutually exclusive. You can play basketball in the church, right? But the question we've kind of been kicking around is, you know, what do we want the church to look like for us, for the next generation? Mm-hmm. Is it we need to hang basketball courts in our parking lot, you know, and really form a good basketball inner you know, Pontiac basketball team, and that'll do it, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, or we need to have some gaming together, whatever it is, you know. But it's, I think Julian is saying it's supposed to be just like the marrow of Christ, and that should be it. This is what we should be connecting on. And I'm taking further, I'd say that requires intimacy, and I don't think we're used to that because we're conditioned by the world to say, hey, pass me the rock. Right, and so we come in here and we say, hey, in Christ's name, pass me the rock. Basically, it's the same as the world, but now we just do it in, you know, whatever our address is. I need to learn our address, parking lot. So it looks good. We're doing it around the church, but it's basically a basketball game that looks like the world and played like the world, and we can say, yeah, my brother and sister. The intimacy, the walls, breaking those things down, you know, the breaking down the borders, the barriers. We talked, you know, bringing back the idea of the fortress, right? I think that's important. We keep that in our minds, these teachings, how they all relate. You know, if each person's a fortress shut up to themselves, you know, the church is the opposite of that, where we're open to one another. Well, the thing I want to bring in is, Julie, I'm not trying to, I'm just trying to draw out more on your ideas. If we are Christian brothers and sisters, and it's been said that the church is a hospital. Think of a hospital, right? We've got, we want our own individual room, right? Well, we don't want to share a room with someone, right? And then we want that HIPAA. You know, we don't want to, we don't want to create any violations where we want to tell other people about our, you know, any of our medical problems, right? It's all confidential between our doctor and ourselves. So maybe we'll tell the pastor and that's it. So the pastor can hear the entire hospital's worth of everything, but no one else gets to hear it, right? And then we have all these private rooms and we have one doctor, maybe a few doctors, but that's not, that's I don't think what I read in scripture. I mean, I don't think that's the idea of the analogy of a hospital. I think it's more one in which, you know, you have brothers and sisters caring for one another, if you will, nursing one another, right? You know, you're a nurse, like nursing one another, so that we can essentially, you know, help one another. And so everyone's basically a patient and everyone's a physician at the same time, versus just one, and then all these other people in the individual room needing to be treated. So I think we have to move away from that. I mean, you think of a church that's, you know, like a very established church with a high liturgy or something like that, and they might come into church and say, you know, we're going to go through our liturgy, we're going to go through bah, 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 and we'll take the Lord's Supper, and then we leave, and then, you know, you might not even get a chance to talk to anyone during that hour-long service.
So that sounds very mechanical, you know, and kind of like going through the motions and not necessarily anything in depth where it's personal, that personal intimacy. You don't have those kind of opportunities.
Yeah, but Julian, I don't know, did I touch on anything that you were talking about at all? You said it was.
I was going to ask
you
to clarify.
Could you clarify?
Because Pastor had some concerns about whether or not he was understanding what you were saying, and maybe I misunderstood what you were saying. Could you maybe clarify what you were talking about, or did we hit any of the surface of what you were talking about?
I suppose.
You suppose. That settles it, Dan. I guess we're all set. What do you think?
Could you give me another stab at it?
I was just saying, like, it's almost like even if you put it like in terms of like the workplace, for instance, mm-hmm. say you got a floor of doctors, and then y'all all go to work, y'all work in the same place, got the same level of healing people type thing, mm-hmm. but it's like outside of the workplace, y'all not necessarily gonna be friends because y'all all have that same love for healing. That okay. makes sense. Mm-hmm. So like I feel like while you're in church,
okay.
it's like when the only reason that you guys was like supposed to be like tight, close mm-hmm. together mm-hmm. is because we believe in the same God, we have the same love for Jesus type mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. It's like it doesn't feel the same.
I got you.
Because it's like even when you put it in terms of like Jesus and the disciples,
mm-hmm.
essentially they were all together because of Jesus, but they like lived together. They're like, they had a family bond type thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just because they were reading scripture yeah. together. It wasn't just because they were singing together. Mm-hmm. They had a family bond.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you outside of church, it's like when you're around like friends and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The world don't, they world blunt people, you know, they don't really care about feelings and all that stuff. So when you actually find friends, it feels like, it's more genuine almost, because it's like, it's almost like more, it's like more carefree, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because it's like, you're not really like looking, it's probably just because I'm young, I don't know. But it's like, you're not looking through the lens of, Jesus wants me to do this, we're going to do this because we're the church and we're supposed to be God's voice.
Yeah.
You're just being yourself, you know, around fellow people who are being themselves, and then y'all connect if y'all connect, y'all don't if y'all don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah, so I think I understand what you're saying in terms of the intersectionality of people's lives. You know, where is your path crossed with another person? And if it's a significant point of intersectionality, you spend a significant part of your day in that cross section, then you will get to know those people as it pertains to that part.
Life.
But the rest of their life, you may not know anything else about them. Go out to dinner with them. You may not know the names of their spouses, their children, nothing else. But when you cross paths in those particular hours of the day doing your job or at school or wherever you are, you have that intersectionality where you actually cross and you have that in common, if nothing else. It may give the illusion that you have a close relationship with them, but it's like one dimensional. And if you want to go outside of that, that's where the effort takes, because you're not going to just do it at work when you have to be there, or at school when you have to be there. You're going to call them up, right? And get on the phone and say, can we go out to dinner? Can we go out to lunch?
Yeah.
Can I come over to your house? Do you want to go on a vacation with me? You know, as it goes, you know, further and further, then you build onto that. But if you're in the church and you only have, as Judy said, that intersectionality that occurs on Sunday, and that's it.
Yes.
That's not a relationship that's close.
Yeah.
You have to expand upon it. Yes, that can be a starting point, but you have to get on the phone with them, right?
Yeah.
You have to talk with them maybe 5 minutes, because it was only 1 minute last week, right? Mm-hmm. Out there in the parking lot. And then 10 minutes, right? And you say, you know what? He's not half bad. Maybe we should go out to lunch or dinner or something, or breakfast. Maybe not dinner, because that's too fast. Maybe we'll do breakfast, right? You can't mess up breakfast.
Yeah.
So we do breakfast, right? And then it builds and builds and builds, but that's not where we are right now. And that's where we need to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that does require some interest. Go ahead.
So I'm hearing a couple phrases with them. So I'm hearing spiritual maturity.
Yeah.
Which involves understanding who we are as Christians and our responsibility from a biblical perspective. That assembly is not an option, right? How that looks may vary, right? But I'm also looking at motives.
Mm.
Because, and I'm talking about this church,
right?
To be clear, we are often transactional in relationships, in encountering one another. I'm in need of fill in the blank, so I'm gonna call fill in the blank because I have a need for that. Very rarely can that transactional relationship motive lead to authentic relationships. Because at the very heart of it is selfishness. What can I get out of the relationship? I'm gonna hang out with Julian because he likes playing video games, and maybe he can let me borrow a video game at some point. I want that video game. I don't necessarily want that relationship with Julian.
Means to an end.
It's a means to an end. Very transactional. Whether we realize, I think sometimes we may not even realize it, but another has to do with membership, right? We're talking about, you know, the NLCC, local assembly church, but I think it's broader than that, because I don't think it's, maybe it's possible, but I think it's very difficult to argue that we are members of the Big C Universal Church, Christians. But then when it comes to assembling at a small church, NLCC, we can care less. That seems to be a contradiction, if you will. So I think in large part, maybe some of the questions we can ask each other and to pray about is, what am I doing to be a member of the Big C Church?
Okay.
Because the Big C Church and NLCC are interconnected. We can't have one without the other. And just to hit home, and this is, I mean, as I'm talking, it's hitting me. How often throughout the week do I communicate in person, phone, however, with people other than on Sundays or Tuesday night? For those of you who are here, I'm just bringing it home, right?
In the same boat.
So Julian's observation is insightful in terms of, you know, this triggers a connection, but now we're talking about degrees,
right?
And even then, do I call? Do I text?
Yeah.
Do I stop by and announce? Do I make a phone call to schedule a week in advance? These are a number of things happening. And
do any of us feel close enough where we could just walk into somebody's house in here, unannounced? And they say,
Tim said, walk
hey,
in without ringing the doorbell.
You
I don't know about that, Tim.
Hey, buddy, how you doing? Would we get that kind of response? Exactly. You might get shot.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 interesting thing that made, that's interesting to me though, and he made me think is that like worship is a gift. Like when we come together, that's what we ought to do in church is a gift. Doing life together is not.
Mm.
You know, doing life together, that takes effort.
It does.
That's a sacrifice. That's intensive.
Yeah.
And it's intentional.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be intentional with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's like, and that's what, you know, your comment made me think that, yeah, we're going to be here because we all got Christ in common in church. We're going to worship, sing songs, talk about scripture and everything else. But doing life goes on outside this church. So are we going to do life together? Now that, you got to be more intentional.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would even suggest to make it even a little bit more, I don't know, maybe abrupt in our own minds.
Mm-hmm.
Do we meet here because it's 11 o'clock on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Do we meet here because it's 6 o'clock on Tuesday? Do we meet here because it's 7 o'clock
mm-hmm.
on Tuesday? And that's where we're supposed to be. Just like I'm supposed to be at work at 6 a.m. and I'm at work at 6 a.m. I'm supposed to be at my school at 7 o'clock. Therefore, I'm there at that time. Is this like something that we just have programmed into our lives to just be here at that time?
Transactional.
Yeah. I mean, we are where we're supposed to be. And we're with the people we're supposed to be with, right? For a certain amount of time, and then that's it. We check that box.
It's a movie,
right?
So it's a long movie. I'm not saying it is a long movie, but that in the worst case scenario would be the transaction of buying a movie ticket, showing up at the theater.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in 2 hours, 3 hours, and then that's it.
And that's it.
You
never see them again. Those people, you cross their path at that moment, but there was an opportunity there, right? Because maybe the person you sat next to in the theater, maybe you did spark up a conversation with them. Maybe you did plant some seeds. Maybe you did sprinkle some water that can turn into something down the road. Is any encounter that you have with an individual, stranger, or whatever, is that arbitrary? If you are a child of God and your steps have been ordered by God, is that an arbitrary thing? The person in the bank line, the person at the grocery store, right? Whoever it might be, is that arbitrary? But to take it that step further beyond just intersectionality, you have to take some effort. You have to put forth some effort. And you may have to sacrifice in order to make it more than what it is, which appears to be a coincidence that our paths crossed at that time. It's 11 o'clock on Sunday. Our paths cross like this every single week, right? Sometimes people come, sometimes they don't, but this is where I want to be. Every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, our paths cross, right? It's got to be more to church life than that. Otherwise, is that going to interest anybody? Are you going to be interested? And if you're disinterested and you're a young person or an older person, whatever, can you really blame them if they are at a level of spiritual maturity where that just is not their thing, right? They get more fulfillment from a relationship outside of the church, a relationship with somebody else that they actually have sat down with and had time to spend with them and actually got to know them, right? They play basketball together. They play video games together. They do go to the same school. They go to sporting events together after school, right? They're on a team together, right? They're actually doing stuff together and not just meeting for an hour every week at the same time, at the same place, with the same people, right? So we have to get to a point, if we want to take this relationship then further, we have to be intentional, as Pastor said. We have to be intentional, and we have to sacrifice, personal sacrifice. We have to step outside of our comfort zone and do more than what we have conditioned ourselves to be satisfied doing, which is being here at 11 o'clock on every Sunday, being here on Tuesday at 6 o'clock, being here on Tuesday at 7, and then that's it. Maybe you come on Friday night for rehearsal once in a while, who knows? But again, we have to be more than just on our post at the approved of time, and doing that faithfully 5-6 times a week at church does not in and of itself make a good relationship with the people of the church. It has to be outside of the four walls of this church. And if that's not something that we can commit to do, then we have to ask ourselves, are we disinterested? Are we selfish? Is this the reason why people get hurt thinking that something is going to be what it's not, right? Is this why we can't trust, right? Are we being stubborn about our time? Are we being stubborn, knowing to do good and doing it not, right? It's a sin. That's what the Bible says, right? Poor communication, right? A lack of time spent. This is something, and this is not an indictment upon you. This is something that we all, I know that I could do a whole lot better than what I do. And there's a lot of idle time, what I would consider idle, you know, like an hour or two a day, right? That I could be spending doing something more important than what it is that I'm using it, that time for. And we need to learn how to carve that time out. Junie and I think a couple others, as we close, we're touching on this idea that we were getting to, and this is something I want us to look at for maybe next week. The commonalities that we have, does that impact, right, our ability to spend time with each other in a meaningful way? Is the limit to our commonality that we are churchgoers, that we are members of an LCC, and that's it, right? Or are there other levels? Now, I know that everybody's not going to answer that the same way. They may answer to a different degree, but we need to look at commonalities. You know, does a lack of commonalities outside of church make it difficult for us to have that good relationship with us, with other people that have other interests, that have other, you know, things that they are involved in? And some of the things that cause this division in society would be, you know, I mean, gender can cause that, right? Religion can cause that. Language is one of those things that can divide people. Race, ethnicity, culture, even subcultures within a culture can cause that. Socioeconomic status can cause people to not hang out with certain people because of that one thing, right? Maybe it's a socio-political affiliation, group associations, groups that you associate with, or cliques. And we know we've heard about cliques inside of a church, right? You have certain people within a church, they all hang together, but everybody else is like a pariah. They don't even want to, be part of it. They don't associate with each other, but they are in one church together. But there's little groups all over the place. And this is one of the things that we're going to look at next week. And I would encourage you to kind of look up this particular term that we are going to explore. And I'm probably going to go ahead and send out this handout for everybody to look at early this week, so we can kind of look at it and some of the scriptures that are associated with it. So how can these dividers of people in society, community, families, and even churches be defined? There's a term called tribalism. Tribalism, groups, people getting into cliques, subcultures, right? Having interest in only being around people who are like them, right? For whatever reason that might be, whatever, you know, little nuance there might be in terms of their commonality, they find one little thing to fix onto. It might be like bikers, for instance, right? That's a good example in society. You have people that are making six-figure income, who are bikers, right? They you know, live in houses that worth millions of dollars, but they're out riding bikes with people, right, who might be gangbangers, right, who might be part of a criminal enterprise, right, who might be just people that like bikes, right? But they're all together, and they come from all different types of walks of life, but they have one thing in common. They like to ride bikes, right? And they go to these big conventions. We went to South Dakota, and we went to this, what was it? Was it Crazy Horse, or was it Mount Rushmore?
Crazy Horse.
And there were people all over the place driving. Men, women, you know, you name it. From all races, all creeds, right? Riding around on bikes, and they had all come together, and they had one thing in common, right? But when you look at the day of Pentecost, they gave what they had, and they had all things that in common. They had all things. And what was that? They had that one relationship with Christ that stuck them together, and it was so tight that they could not be broken from it. They came from every walk, every tribe, every nation. They were coming from all over the place, speaking different languages, but they had that one thing that brought them together. And that was the beginning of what became the church, right? But they had to be intentional about moving it beyond that initial, you know, interaction or cross-section where they actually, you know, cross each other. So I want us to kind of look at tribalism this week as a brief definition. And then I got this from, I get a lot of stuff from Got Questions, because it gives you a Christian perspective that is supposed to be evangelistic in nature, but it also gives some scripture references as well. Tribalism is a strong feeling of loyalty to a group, ideology, or tribe. In its most basic forms, tribalism is the glue that holds ethnic groups together, such as Native American tribes, Jews, or African Americans. Tribalism is also found in other groups that have lasting cohesion, such as religions, sports teams, families, or small towns. On the positive side, tribalism creates loyalty, provides security for the members of the tribe, and fosters a sense of community and belonging. However, tribalism gone rogue can destroy the very institution it ought to strengthen. Okay? So, when we look at church, we were supposed to take the gospel message and take it and go into the highways and the byways, into the hedges, right? And compel men to come in, but we have gotten to the point where we are comfortable with just us, right? Just us. And even with that, it's not enough, because we only see just us at 11 o'clock on Sunday, at 6 o'clock on Tuesday, 7 o'clock on Tuesday, and every once in a while at 6:30 on Friday. Beyond that, that's not enough, is it? That's not enough. We have to have relationships that go beyond the four walls of this church and outside of the context of church, right? But the thing about church is that church is not this building, the church is in us. So it should impact and influence every facet of our life. So it's not like we hang out and go out to lunch with each other, go out to dinner, we forget about God and we stop acting like Christians, right? That's not what we're saying. But we're saying that that is the beginning point, and it can go out into the world. And who knows, if people see you interacting and fellowshipping with someone else, it may become infectious, right? And it may draw people to, all right? So just look that up this week. I'll send out that the handout for that, so we can look at the scriptures as well. Anyone else have any thoughts about relationships? Bernie, or you want to wait till next week?
I want to plant a seed to clarify what you said, though, if you allow me.
Yeah.
And first make the point about time is up there. Mm-hmm. Let's set a good example by, you know, going over time for a few minutes, because we're willing to do that to have this discussion.
All right.
So there you
I
go.
Have no problem with All that. Right. Anybody else have a problem with that?
Okay.
And if you know, leave, I never have a problem.
If you need to leave, then obviously leave. But, you know, right. Let's not just say, hey, it's 8 o'clock.
You know
the bell
what?
Ring. So
let's take it to the next step. Everybody who is here and anybody who's on Zoom, your assignment this week is to call one person in this church and just call them and say, how you doing? I was thinking about you. Right. And it not be forced. And if they say, well, you only called me because Elder Watkins said to call me, say, you know what? We got to
start somewhere.
We got to start somewhere.
Well, yeah, that's a good segue. That's a perfect segue.
Right.
That's what I was going to say.
You got to start somewhere. No.
So what I wanted to say was that you said a moment ago that we're supposed to be, you know, you've said it in many different ways, many different times, but, you know, we're a light set on a hill, right?
Yeah.
We're supposed to go to the highways and the byways and bring this message of, you know, repentance and forgiveness and resurrection to the world. And what just goes right into my mind is, as we're talking, is that, you know, you mentioned that we gather at, well, I won't count the prayer. I didn't come to that, but let's say 7 o'clock Tuesday, and let's say it's a Tuesday that's a didactic teaching, like where we sit here. And I know we haven't been doing this a lot lately. It's been much more interactive, but We come, we receive the message, and then Sunday, you know, maybe a little bit of talk beforehand, but then we receive the sermon and we leave. So there's going to be very little, what am I saying, evangelizing to one another within the church. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know how, like, Julian, I don't know what Julian thinks. I haven't talked to him about the Lord. I haven't talked to Isaiah about the Lord. You know, I've talked to Jerry and maybe, you know, you.
Well, you know what Pastor said?
Yeah.
They need one adult in their life that is not their parents.
So well, I'm just going back on the time.
I'm not letting you off the hook on that.
No,
that's
I understand.
Not just an example, right?
What's that?
You weren't just using that as an example. Right?
No, I'm just simply saying
you're
the
volunteering, right?
I'm just saying the facilitating of it, if we think about our schedules and the way the structure is,
yeah.
It's not set up to evangelize one another,
yeah.
to nurse one another. And so my challenge to the message of we should be going out evangelizing others is, how can we evangelize the world? We
start
haven't evangelized
home.
Ourselves.
Yes, you start at home. That is the pattern. You start in Jerusalem and then you
yeah.
go to Samaria, right? So we definitely and we used to before COVID, we had our little time downstairs in between service where we could do those kinds of things. We need to get back into having that kind of fellowship outside of the sanctuary. And just kind of being in the fellowship hall to be able to do that. And we used to meet on Saturdays too. You know, the brotherhood used to meet, you know, we had from the youngest to the oldest meeting, and we had opportunities to talk like that. So, all right, more could be said. I'm going to go ahead at this time and just turn it over to Pastor for any final words, and then he can dismiss us in prayer. All right.
Good stand. Prayer requests.